But is it true to say that namas are only apparent at the first stage of insight?
Can I ask about, again, coming back to an emitter and visible object? Mm-hmm. I'm just struggling a bit to understand why visible object is so impenetrable, why it is not more apparent.
Where is emitter? Is it not now? Is it not here?
I'm sure it is, but when one has heard Dhamma, then there's supposed to be a condition for awareness to arise and know.
How much one understands the visible object as it is, not just by hearing that it's now, it appears, cannot be conditioned for awareness. And when there is the intention or attachment to experience it, it hinders again, instantly, see? So it has to go along with right understanding and detachment. Lopa does not give way to right development at all. Never let go anyone, even to have right considering what is the way to develop. When one is urged to do something with attachment, it's not the way, but Lopa likes it to be that way. Always keep one in the wrong path all the time.
So those of us who try to catch realities, mm-hmm. it means that we have not understood.
Right.
But that's just the thinking.
To do and to understand is much different. Yes. To understand at that moment will eliminate the avicca, but to do, it's I who do. No elimination at all.
So no doing is needed, just understanding.
Mm-hmm. It's the only way.
So detachment alone is not sufficient condition. It has to be right understanding.
It's the function of right understanding. Otherwise, there's no way to become detached at all.
I was thinking of another variant of detachment.
And if Panya doesn't see Lopa, it's impossible to get rid of it. So what we heard about reality is all Akusala Dhamma. It will appear to Satipatthana and Panya as it is, to be eradicated, little by little, eliminated. Not just by theoretical understanding, but by awareness and Panya, which begins to grow. So no matter how long we try, 20 years, 30 years, it's a waste of time.
Just moving away from the goal? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, moving away from reality right now.
We read in the text that not only realities but also concepts can be natural decisive support condition for dharmas now. But of course when it refers to the concepts as paktu, upanisya, pachya, they're just being used as a shorthand for dharmas, like when we talk about food or friends. Actually, there are many different dharmas that are represented by these terms.
Are we not listening to concept right now?
Listening to concepts, yes. So it's referring to the listening or the mm-hmm. thinking about mm. concepts also.
About realities.
Concepts about realities, yeah. Yes.
It doesn't mean just Dhamma and no understanding.
No.
Yeah.
But when we say listening to concepts, so it's
in
actually
order to understand Dhamma.
Dhamma, but it's the listening that's real. So when it says, oh, concepts are
it's
the conditions. Yes. But it's actually referring to the listening or the thinking about
and
concepts.
It's listening to right thinking.
Wouldn't it be more precise to say realities including those realities that think about concepts or are
rightly conditioned?
Well, either are a condition for what
when
arises
wrong,
now.
A condition, the wrong view.
Yes.
We use the term associated with the right one, it means that associated with right thinking
view,
or right view. Because actually there's no people. Like now we are associated with right words or right views.
Even when we talk about food or eating too much or too little, really we're just talking about the experiencing of different rupas which acts as a condition for listening to Dhamma or for feeling sleepy or whatever. So when it refers to the concepts like people or food,
when it brings to the understanding of Dhamma, We just don't talk about eating too much without understanding that there is no one. It's only Panya which sees the benefit of having less attachment. Because otherwise we will have always strong attachment food. But when Panya is there, it will have its duty as becoming less and less attachment, gradually, unseen too.
So if the arahat has no attachment at all, do they eat?
For the body. They don't
for the body.
Did they eat?
Yes, he did.
Attachment, but there are conditions for citta to arise, as far as there's not the right time for the jutti citta to arise yet.
Nina brought up something one time, and I think it was something out of the Visuddhimagga about afflicted rupas, and I can't remember what context, but I remember my question was that it sounded a very strange thing to say about rupas, but she pointed out rupas that feel pain and hunger. But does afflicted rupa mean only of the body?
To be conditioned for unpleasant feeling.
It doesn't mean like these rupas aren't afflicted. All rupas are afflicted.
Because they're all affected by temperature and other factors.
Like a rupa, visible object arises and falls away immediately. What rupa are we talking about that's afflicted?
Its nature is like that when it's afflicted.
Because it's afflicted, that's part of the reason why it is impermanent. It's dukkha too. Even the rupas not being experienced are also dukkha because they're impermanent.
We can only think about it in the concept.
What about the rotten food? Its nature is that, and before that it's not like that. So we just talk about the change.
When we speak of visible object arising, or rupa, visible object or sound.
But how can the visible object arise? To be, or to be presented, like now. There must be the primary rupas, and
yes.
When there is a change of that rupa, it conditions the change of color too.
Would you say that it's because of the heat element?
By uttu. It's like milk and curd, see?
We talk about citta arising and falling away and being the condition for the next citta to arise. Can you do the same for rupa, like this?
No.
This lot of rupa arising and falling away is not a condition for the next lot?
No.
So how does this hang together?
What condition this?
Well, it's either gamma or citta or...
So, as long as gamma produces it, it's here. You cannot stop the production of gamma.
Okay, but I just thought maybe the kalapa or rupa that arises, when it falls, it conditions the next lot.
No, anantara paccaya. Anantara paccaya is only nama, citta, cetasika.
And we say that all khandhas, all rupas are dukkha because they're impermanent. Now, when it comes to the noble truth of dukkha, it's just referring to the panchupadana khanda, the khandhas that are experienced, the khandhas of clinging. So can one say there is a difference between the meaning of dukkha and the noble truth of dukkha?
Once it's experienced as a reality, not the arising and falling away, and not experiencing Nibbana yet, it cannot be the Arya Dukkha.
Cannot be the noble truth of dukkha. So the noble truth of dukkha can only refer to the direct understanding of khandhas as object of clinging and the cause, etc. So this is the difference in the meaning of dukkha and noble truth of dukkha.
Because the dukkha of rupa is anytime.
Any
it arises.
When it is the Aryan truth of dukkha, of course there is no attachment, so there are no rupas that are actually object of clinging at that moment. But it is the direct understanding that it is those rupas which are clung to.
Okay. It seems like we understand what is meant by khanda, right? Mm. It seems that we understand what is meant by dhamma, nama dhamma and rupa dhamma. But why khanda, see? If there is no awareness of a particular object, can we understand what is the meaning of khanda?
No.
Because there are various khanda, even its rupa, even the tangible object, when it appears as object one at a time, they are different, very soft or very hard. That's why we can understand the meaning of khanda only when awareness arises. We understand the difference between each different khanda.
But the understanding of nama and rupa as khanda is...
when awareness arises.
It's not just simply having satipatthana, it's even more.
That is satipatthana.
But satipatthana...
is aware of a characteristic...
of a reality.
Which is different. Yeah. From time to time, from moment to moment.
So the implied in the meaning of khanda is that one is different from the other?
Mm-hmm. Each reality is so different.
Isn't there something more than that to understand khanda?
No self, nothing left.
Like the understanding that past rupas have always been the same, past namas have always been the same, isn't that also part of the understanding of khanda?
You mean the same type of...
Yeah, same type.
But not the same one.
Not the same one, same mm-hmm. type.
So one understands khandas then. Never the same one.
Feeling is all here.
Otherwise we keep on talking about khanda, it seems like we understand khanda. But actually, when it's not the direct understanding of any characteristic, it cannot be said that one has understood khanda yet. That's why only five khandas are tukha, ariya tukha.
I just have difficulty understanding why all khandas are referred to as dukkha and why the five khandas of clinging, panchupadana khanda, are given under the noble truth of dukkha, because still all khandas are dukkha.
There is no clinging, no use to develop understanding.
And cannot be experienced.
Khanda itself is khanda, yeah. But when it's the object of clinging, it's upadana khanda.
Could we say there's movement because of the arising and falling away of rupas?
What about when there is no movement yet? No arising and falling away of realities? Or still, it has to be that way?
Well, I understand theoretically that all realities are arising and falling away.
Ever there is the experiencing of a reality, do we have to think about place, which moves?
Well, I guess not. I don't know. I've not experienced the reality.
No so. Idea about place or moving. Just the experiencing of a characteristic, yeah. Because there is no self. Just one characteristic of citta and rupa. Otherwise, what moves? The whole thing. The leg or the hand.
Maybe the arising and falling away manifests as movement.
Without characteristic.
Without characteristic. Yeah.
Where does one live when there is the experiencing of nama and rupa? In this room?
Or where? Well, I think that when there is experience of the element, there is no place.
No idea about moving. Mm-hmm.
It says differences among women and from the Anguttara Nikaya. What, O Venerable One, is the cause and reason that a woman is ugly, of ugly appearance, most evil to look at, and is poor, without power, wealth, and influence? Or what is the cause and reason that a woman is ugly, but is rich, with great power, wealth, and influence?
Including men?
Well, that was going to be my question. Why is it particularly... the whole thing...
Because the person who asked was
Queen Malek. Okay, that's... Yeah. I don't need to go through this one. Thank you.
This may relate to the movement on postures. We read about iriyapada posture and iriyapada, is it pitvang dukkha, shifting postures when there's pain.
Yes, iriyapada, but no shifting.
And because of adopting different postures, there's the thinking that there is sitting, standing, and no understanding of the rising and falling of dharmas because of the sanya of various postures. And we read in the text that the characteristic of pain doesn't appear owing to not keeping in mind the continuous oppression due to being concealed by postures, iriyapada.
So it's because of the shifting of postures that covers up the characteristic of pain?
I don't know whether it talks about shifting or
just
even
the posture.
The posture. Because in Thai or in Pali, I think that it's posture, not the shifting of posture.
And sometimes in the text, this is from the Vibhanga, it talks about the characteristic of pain doesn't appear owing to being concealed by postures, iriapata. But on the tape I heard you saying the characteristic of impermanence doesn't appear.
And pert iriabot in Thai doesn't mean to shift, but it means to have no idea about the posture.
So when you say have no idea about posture, you mean have
because
no idea that it's just a concept?
Because just hardness is not sitting, standing.
And in the text it talks about the characteristic of pain as being concealed by iriapata, by the posture. And you mention the characteristic of...
I'd like to look at this, Dipitaka. Because usually when people read this part, they think that the shifting of posture conceals the dukkha. But it's not like that.
I understood that with Ajahn Nam. She taught me.
Part of Pitbang Dukkha. A long time.
Yes.
In the one position.
Can you explain what...
Because iriyabot in Thai means do not have idea anymore about posture. Because before that we have the idea that we are sitting. But when Panya experiences a characteristic of Rupa, it's a tattoo, the element of that Rupa. No sitting at all. No sitting posture.
So that's kind of the same answer as before. At that moment, experience of a Rupa, there's no idea of movement or place or position or anything.
So Pitbang, hide.
Pitbang, to hide, to conceal.
Iriapada, Pitbang,
dukkha. The arising and falling away of Rupa, because they think that by shifting position, one can see the impermanence of Rupa.
So what does it mean about the hiding of dukkha? It means that
right
the idea
now,
of posture.
Right now, that is the idea of the whole body sitting.
And sometimes it mentions characteristic of pain not appearing, and sometimes you refer to the characteristic of impermanence not appearing because of the idea of postures. Is it the same?
The succession of the arising and falling of rupa conceal the anicca. And the component of all rupas condition the idea of atta.
And the pain?
All five khandhas. But posture is for rupa. For the other, no rupa. So the three characteristics can be experienced.
But in this example, it's the dukkha doesn't appear because of iriapata. So iriapata, does it always refer to the idea
posture.
Of posture? So perk, does it mean the same as pitbang hide?
When there is the idea of iriyapata, one cannot experience the arising and falling away of any rupa. But when there's perk iriyabot means there is no idea anymore about
no more idea.
When it's not vipassanayana, there is the idea of sitting.
Or standing or walking.
The postures.
And with Vipassana Jnana?
No posture at all.
At that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But the conceptual idea of sitting can follow.
Nobody there who sits. The posture does not appear to Panya.
No.
Because there is no posture.
So just getting back to visible object, as we were talking about earlier in Panya and ignorance, when there is awareness and understanding, can we say that it's not that there's any difference in the seeing of visible object, but there's just the
Panya which
Panya
knows.
Which knows. And the same for hearing and sound.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference in the
exactly
hearing of the sound.
Exactly like now.
Exactly like now, but with
very
understanding.
Normal,
Just one more question on the gross and subtle. So rupas are grosser than namas, but one can't say what is easier or harder to know or anything like that because they're anatta. Can one even say that gross rupas are more obvious than subtle rupas?
It's gross because it has its own characteristic as rupa, while nama doesn't have any shape, no form, no smell.
that one can't go on and say it's more obvious than nama because it's gross or not.
Would you like to use the term? Or even if it's now appearing?
I'm a bit...
Whether gross or not gross.
It just depends what appears.
Obvious and obvious.
Yeah.